Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Everyday Heroes, that's the new, it's the new message series, not the new one because we started it last week, but this is the message series that we're in. We are in Everyday Heroes. And just like we said last week, ordinary life doesn't disqualify you. It's where heroes are made. All through the Bible, we meet people who are just messed up in all kinds of things with real struggles, yet God calls them heroes of the faith. And this month, we are learning how their faith still speaks to us today and how God is writing the story through your life as well. Are you guys everyday heroes? Yes. Are you everyday heroes? You got to say it like you believe it, because it's the truth. Because the identity that God has for you is more true than the history that you had. What he says about you in the Bible is more real than anything you can taste or feel or anything like that. The truth he has for you is the truth. Your identity in Christ is more real. That's the truth. Who you are in him. Who you are. Our key verse for this month is, in the same way that your let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So they may see him in you so that they can glorify him and want what you have. A hero. Jesus is the ultimate hero. He is the ultimate one that takes the least of these and makes them extraordinary and give glory to all to him. Okay, guys, here we go. Today's hero of the faith. Hope you guys are sitting down for this one because it's going to blow your minds. Rahab. Amen. Rahab, an uncommon hero, an unlikely hero, Rahab. And the title of today's message is, God is on the move. God is on the move. Amen. And our key verse for today is Hebrews 11:31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. By faith. Faithfulness. Last week, if you can remember, going all the way back 7 days ago, I was standing right about here somewhere, and I told you who we were talking about. And the guy we talked about last week was Caleb. He has an awesome name.
Yeah, he does.
He was a simple man with a different spirit that followed God with his whole heart. A man that God helped get over his past so that he could enter into the promised land. And I hope, above all, this is what you got from it. A man who had victory over victimhood. Because that's the thing with him. He came from a place of being enslaved against his will. And he could have held that against God. He could have held that against everybody and used that as an excuse for his entire life. You don't know what I went through. I was a slave. But he knew with God he had the victory over that. So that didn't hold him back anymore. Are you letting things hold you back? You have the victory over your victimhood. Yeah. Amen to that. Then today, this week, we are fast forwarding 40 years from that time. Because remember, they went and spied the land. They gave a good report. The others didn't. God said, okay, this generation is not going to the promised land. We're going to wait until you die out. It took them 40 years, and this is that time period. Now it's 40 years later. And now we're going there. So 40 years into the fuser, the Israelites are about to enter the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where we see Rahab, an uncommon person, used by God. Get your Bibles ready. Where's Rahab in the Bible? Joshua, chapter 2. There's a hint. So go to Joshua, chapter 2. God is on the move. God is on the move. Amen. It was so weird. When I was doing the notes for this, I was in the room down there, and I'm just writing out the notes, and I'm thinking, oh, God's moving into the promised land. But every time I wrote the thing down, the promised land would come out of my mouth, but I would write, God is on the move. God is on the move. That was always in my mind. God is on the move. God is on the move then, God is on the move now, and God is on the move in the future. He is always on the move. He's always doing a new thing, and he's completing a thing, and he's going forward. He is on the move. God is on the move. And we're going to go in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I think I'm going to go to 14, but I may even go further. So be ready. Be listening. Be expecting. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from, I'm not going to say that word because it sounds like a swear word to me, saying, go and view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Isn't that weird? Like, can you imagine, like, you know, you're sent out, like, Joshua comes to you and says, dude, I need you to go spy out the land, you and this other guy. So you guys are spying the land out. And then, you know, you're doing your thing. And you're going into the city of Jericho. You're spying it out. You're getting tired and you need somewhere to stay. And you're, like, looking all around. And all of a sudden, the guy you came with comes up to you and says, dude, I got a place. We're going to go there and we're going to rest for the night. Oh, awesome. Where? I'm so tired. I need to eat and need to go somewhere. It's a cool place. It's right on the wall of the city. Oh, even better, so we can get in and out. We can watch everybody coming in and out. Where are we going? We're going to Rahab. What do you mean? You mean the prostitute's house? I don't know, bro. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a place to go. We're going to a place, the home of the harlot. God has something special going on, even when we can't see it, even when it doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. The home of a harlot? People knew who she was. It wasn't a secret. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go there. So they go to the house of the harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. So they knew what was going on, and they knew his peeps was there. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab. They knew they all went through her house. She was known, saying, bring out the men whom have come to you and have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, yes, the man came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at the dark that the men went out. I did not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in stacks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. As soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. This is important stuff right here. And said to them, Rahab was different. She saw something. She knew something. and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know this. And that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all that the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and when you did and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard it. Our hearts melted. And no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and on earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours if you do not tell this business of ours. Give us the land that we and we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Rahab was the last person you would think God would use. Couldn't have there been somebody else in that town that had a better reputation? Could have been just a little bit like maybe the town mayor, or maybe some upstanding businessman or some person, and they had a cool house and they understood. But God used a harlot. And when I was thinking about this, it kind of makes sense in her business, her line of work. Why? She was in the right place at the right time. Her house is literally in the wall of the city. She knew everybody, and everybody knew her, whether they liked it or not. She was seen and unseen at the same time. She knew things because people would talk around her. She was seen enough to be heard, but not seen enough to be taken seriously. It was her business to know what was going on in the city and who was coming in and going out, because that's business right there. That's potential money, the people coming in and the people going out. She needed to know. Sometimes we see ourselves as the Rahab. Sometimes we see ourselves as that person that is seen and unseen. We see ourselves as that person that we think we can't be used by God because of who we were. Last week, we talked about people doing things to us and forgiving them and getting past it. This week, I'm talking about what we have done and not excusing it, but understanding that Jesus, through the cross, has redeemed us so as if we had never done that to him. Because the way he sees us is completely redeemed, completely righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. But sometimes in our lives, we see ourselves as the Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute because of where we've been. And Jesus is on the move because he's bringing people into the promised land every day. And he wants to use you just like he used Rahab back then to bring the people into the promised land. And he can't do that in you if you keep on seeing yourself as the Rahab and you can't get past your past. Because he wants you to release it and let it have him take care of it so you can be the one who helps the spies, the people into the promised land now. Yeah. Have you let it go? Or do you still see yourself as the prostitute? There are a lot of things that we have done that we wish we hadn't. But we have to stand on the promise that what we've confessed to him, he has forgiven us completely. And he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And he has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And when you come to Christ, you are completely clean. What he did on the cross is complete. And now it's time to see yourself in that. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to believe that he does see you cleanly, because we don't see ourselves as clean, because the memory is still there of where you were. But that's not who you are anymore. He sees you complete and whole. He sees you redeemed and clean. And he wants you to get past your past so you can walk into the future with him. Jesus is moving. And the enemy can try to make us look at all the reasons he can't move through us, instead of seeing all the ways we are positioned because of what God has done. Rahab had a past, and she could have used that to not be used by God. She could have said, I am just too messed up. I am just too far gone. But she didn't. She had a faith, just like it says in verse 10 through 11. Of all the things she proclaimed to the Israelites that day, the two spies, we have seen the Red Sea dry up. We have heard of what you did to the kings. We have heard, and our hearts have melted away. She had a faith that went beyond her past. Do you? She had a faith. She had a confidence and assurance that God was about to do something, and she wanted to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of what God is about to do? And I say this because I hear it now. Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. Just like Rahab did. Let it go. No one's holding it against you. No one's holding it against you anymore. Let it go. And let God. Rahab was so confident that in faith that God was about to move, that as she spoke to them and spoke to the king, she said to the king, yeah, they were here, but they're gone now. She was more faithful in what God was about to do than she was scared of what the king could have done. Do you understand that, what she did there? I mean, when I read it a few times, it was like, whoa, what are you talking about? Wait a minute. It'd be like the sheriff showing up at your house today and being like, you know, you're telling him something and you know the truth, but you tell him something. Man, that's scary right there. She told the king of the place she was in, dude, they were here, but they gone. I don't know where they went. I didn't know who they were, so I'll let them walk away. If he had found them in her house, can you imagine what he would have done to her? She was a prostitute. Probably one of the lowest of the low you can think of. What he would have done to her. But she had more faith in a God that she didn't really know, that she hadn't really seen. More faith in what he was about to do, more in fear in a godly way of what he was about to do than a king who stood before her. What about you? Do you have more faith in what God is about to do than what the people in the natural can do to you right now? God's redeeming, redemption, and forgiveness is complete. Where is your faith? He is on the move. Ooh. Ooh. Be the uncommon hero of letting God take care of your past so that you can look forward to your future. Sometimes we feel and think we're the Rahab still, and that's what I just dealt with. But sometimes we see the Rahabs. You know, once you get born again and you're doing your thing, and then you see people in the streets, you can pick people out. Dude, you know, I know what he's done. I know what she's doing. I know all these things about that person. Sometimes we see the Rahabs. Do you hold their past against them when you know what you know about somebody? I don't know everything about you. I don't claim to know that. But I do know some things about some of you, and you know some things about me. Do you hold what I have done in the past against me? And I remind myself, do I hold what I know about you against you? Because God does not. God is on the move now, and he wants to use you now. And I have faith enough to know that wherever you've been and whatever you have done, he is going to use you in a mighty way. And I got to make sure that I'm not going to get in the way of what he wants to do in your life. Sometimes we see the Rahabs. And we got to remind ourselves, let God do what he's going to do. Let him use who he's going to use. He used me. Trust me. I was a Rahab. But I am not her anymore. And nor are you if you are born again and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You are new in him. Sometimes when we see the Rahabs, there can be a religious mindset that takes place in us. And it's crazy because we know what God has done in our own lives. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we can see the people who were, I'm jumping around here a little bit, but I was so impressed this week by the new moves in God, the move of the Spirit, the move of what God is doing. And I know by faith that he is going to be doing a thing now, and he's going to be doing a thing in the future. He's going to be doing a new thing, a new movement, where, you know, revivals are going to break out. I have faith for revivals in this area, that this area will be known for revival, and this area will be known for people who are seeking after God. But I also know in this area that there are people very far away from God doing some really weird things. But when I see God take somebody out of the gutter, who smells like puke and urine, and he brings them out and he changes them completely. And I see him use that person in his new revival, his new movement. Am I going to take offense at what I just seen because God isn't using me the way I thought I should be used? He was like, I'll let that sit there for a second. Because sometimes we get a religious mindset because we think, because we've been following all the rules of God for a long time or however long, that we should be used in a certain way. And when we don't see us being used in a certain way, but we see some drunkard get saved and the next day he's preaching the gospel and he didn't have to wait 30 years. And we're like, well, I've been waiting 30 years. I've been preaching, I've been listening, I've been doing all the things you said, God. But this guy who just got saved 2 days ago is now preaching his heart out on the corner of the street. And I don't like it much. Because I should be the one preaching on the side of the street, not this dude right here. That's when you see the Rahabs. And there's the danger of the mindset. He is doing what I should be doing. And he didn't put any time or any payment into it, but I have. Wham. Do you see the Rahabs? Do you take offense about what God is doing in their life in his movement? He took somebody who was a prostitute and in a few days later used her to bring the people from the old into the promised land. God is bringing people into the promised land every day, and he's using the Rahabs to do it. Do you take offense at what he's doing in their lives? The religious mindset points out others instead of ourselves. I know where he's been, God. I know what he does. I can't believe you're using him. I can't believe you're using her. She was a teen, unwed mother. How could you use her? A religious mindset makes us point out the wrongs of others. It sets us apart because we try to judge each other. I'm better than her because I do this, God. It's the Pharisee mindset. Thank God I'm not like him, the tax collector, God, because I pray twice a day. I do all these things. And the tax collector's like, have mercy on me, God. I'm a sinner. I know I messed up. And Jesus said, that man walked away forgiven. The religious mindset we have to pray against is so dangerous because it seeps in because we think we're doing right when we're really doing wrong. Because we're not building others up. Instead of saying, yes, he's not a drunkard anymore and he's doing great and mighty things for God, we say, he's a drunkard, he's a loser, he's a nobody. How come you're not using me? We have to build people up. The mindset has to change. So when we see the Rahabs come to Christ, we can be excited just like we were when we got born again. The mindset only lets us look at the Rahabs instead of looking at the guy who has saved the Rahabs. Yeah. It takes our eyes off of him and puts our eyes on them, which even more dangerously puts our eyes on ourselves, and there's nothing good. Get your eyes off the Rahabs. Get your eyes on Christ. And then you can see the Rahabs the way he sees them, redeemed, clean, and doing an awesome and mighty thing in God. God, Jesus, is on the move today. And he's using the Rahabs to bring them into the promised land. He's using me and you to bring these people into the promised land of his redemption and his grace and his mercy. Get out of the way so he can bring them in. Because I promise you, once you get out of the way and you put your eyes on him, he's going to use you in a better way than you ever thought you could be ever used in your life. Because you think you have an idea about how God is going to use you. I'm telling you right now, it is not even near as close to as awesome as it is going to be when you give fully to him everything you have. I promise you that. Ooh. Be the unlikely hero, the uncommon hero of not holding other people's past against them. Let them guide others into the promised land and be used by God. And this third thing, I don't know if it's a third thing or a second thing. It's a thing. This is not necessarily the Rahabs in the flesh, but it is kind of a little bit. And it's kind of a little bit what I just talked about, but a little different. If you can keep track. Okay, sometimes there is a persons or peoples that God is using. And we're not necessarily down on God using them, but what we do is because we know their past, we say, and what they're doing is like, we feel sorry for them. And we don't expect much out of them. Because we know their past. It's not that we're holding their past against them per se, like God can't do a thing, but it's like, oh, look at so-and-so, all he's doing. I know his past. I know where he came from. So that's all I expect out of him. God's only going to do so much through him. That is one of the worst things, ideas that you can hold against somebody. And we do it subconsciously. Oh, that person or that group of people, you know, like they said, is anything good can come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from New York? Can anything come from New York City good? Can anything good come from Ithaca? I came from Lansing, but in the long spot, Ithaca. Yes, good things come from those towns, and I'm one of them. And you're one of them from the town you're from. That being said, because I know good things come, and I know how good God is, and I know that some of your past may be a Rahab past or whatever, or where you come from or what your fathers did or any of those things, because I know God is good, I expect great things out of you. Let that set in. Because I know how good God is in your life, because he's been good in my life, even though I know some of you have gone through some dramatic things, I expect great things out of you because I know how great God is in you. Ooh. Sometimes we hold the people's past against them. And sometimes we hold their past against them because we feel sorry for them. Does me feeling sorry for you hold you back from everything that God has for you? Does that give you an excuse not to go after everything that God is showing you in your mind and your dreams and what you hope for in God? Your calling in God. Does the way I expect hold you back from what you are called to do? Sometimes you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out, but I don't want to be the person that holds you back because I feel sorry for you because where you've been. Because God is good and he's mighty in you. But at that same time, I want you guys to expect great things out of me and great things out of the people around you. Because God is good. He is on the move. He is on the march. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3 real quick just to read something. Just a short thing. Because the time has gone quick. Oh, I could read the rest of the story. I could do that in just a second, but I wanted to hit something real quick, real here. So I'm going to the Philippians, General Electric Power Company. There it is. I'm going to read just real quick. In chapter 3 of Philippians, in verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ." There was a reason God laid hold of you and called you up and called you out. Are you going after that? Go after him most in all things. But after going after him and worshiping and praising him, are you going after why he's called you out? And does anything hold you back from going after why he's called you out? Don't let your past hold you back. Don't let the way you think about others hold them back. And don't let you feeling sorry for somebody hold them back either. God is good, and God is on the move. And as he's on the move, I'm going to read the end of the story, because it is awesome, and I was asked to. So if we're late, blame them. Then, in 15, it says, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, 'Go into the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there in the 3 days until the pursuers return, and then afterward you may go on your way.' The men said to her, 'We shall be free from this oath to which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet.'" Is it a scarlet letter when people have done bad things? I was trying to figure that out. It's like a scarlet, no, or scar. There it is. It's not good. "But a scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down and gathered to yourself into the house of your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. They could have left and she could have told somebody about what had just happened. But like I said earlier, she had more faith in God than the fear of man. Yeah. More faith in a God than a fear of man. She said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and came to the hill country and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And now the pursuers had sought them all along the road, but not had found them. Then the two men returned and came down to the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they related to him all that had happened to them. Then they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land to our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. So Joshua is sitting there and they're telling him, he's like, guess what, Joshua? We spied out the whole land and guess where we stayed? We went to the prostitute's house and we was chilling. You went where? You did what? Yeah, we went to Rahab, the harlot. We went to her house because, you know, that's where I would have gone. Imagine them telling their wives after that. Guess where we stayed? Guess where we were safe? At the prostitute's house. Oh, really? You want to explain that to me once again? I didn't think I quite heard you right. Yeah, yeah. We went to the harlot's house and we stayed and we were safe. That stuff right there blows my mind. And God is using those same things today. We think we know, but we truly don't know exactly all that God is doing. We think we see, but we really don't see all that he has done. We think we understand somebody, but we really don't. Sometimes it's evident, and sometimes it's less so. God went to the person who you would least think would be the hero. And because of him, she was. Because of him, you are too. And because of him, there are others in our area that don't know him yet, but will know him. And he's going to use all of us to bring people into the promised land. Are you ready? Do you have your eyes on him so you can see the new move of God and be able to follow him? So you can see the crazy things that happen because you do and believe it, even if it doesn't make any sense. Why would he use a harlot's home? It doesn't make any sense, but I have a faith in a God who knows it's right. And we trust in what he's doing. He does awesome and amazing things all over the world. And he's doing it right here. Have faith in a God who does crazy things, but in the end works them all out because he did a crazy thing in you. Father God, we are here today. We were the Rahab, but we are the Rahab no more. We see the Rahabs, but we see more clearly now what you are doing in that Rahab's life than what we see her doing in the flesh. And God, we see right now the people and we expect great and mighty things out of all of us. We're not settling anymore. We want to be used by you to go into the promised land and bring others with us. And he doesn't want you to settle where you are. He doesn't want you to be just like, I'm comfortable here. I'm this, that, and I'm a, you know. He doesn't want you to settle. You may be exactly in the place where he wants you to be, but are you in constant communication so you know that it's true? Because sometimes he's on the move. And he's on the move in your life. Are you where you need to be? Are you where you're supposed to be? Or is he asking you to move? Whew. And as we close out, because it's getting late, if you could all rise. God, we thank you that you're on the move. We thank you that you are calling us out and you're redeeming. And thank you, God, that there are people here today that are calling up. If you haven't called upon his name, call upon his name. His name is Jesus, and it says there is by no other name that you must be saved, that you can be saved by. And if you call upon his name, you will be saved. So if you haven't called upon his name, call upon his name. Jesus, save me. If you've done that today, come forward and tell somebody that Jesus saved you. You're no longer a Rahab. You're a person that's bringing others into the promised land. You want to be used by God. This sounds so amazing what Pastor Caleb was talking about today. I want to be used by God and do the things. I don't want to be complacent anymore where I'm at, God. I want to be content, but I don't want to be complacent. And I want to know the difference in all areas of my life. I want to go into the promised land and I want to bring others with me. Are we where we're supposed to be, God? What are you calling us to do? What are you calling us to give up? What are you calling us to go forth in? Do I need to spend more time in the Word? Do I need to spend more time in just his presence? We have the opportunity because of what Jesus did on the cross to be there where he wants us to be. And if there's anything holding us back, Father God, just take it away now in the name of Jesus and break those things off. And I pray right now, Father God, that you are healing people right now. I see shoulders being healed right now in the name of Jesus. I see people walking in the power of the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus and speaking boldly in the name of Jesus. People who had never spoke boldly before in their lives now trust and have a faith in you so that they can and will because they trust in what they're doing because they trust the God who is in them to do it. God, just release right now your Holy Spirit over us. Release your Holy Spirit so we can walk in the power and give us the know-how to properly apprehend and properly hold and release the Holy Spirit. Because you have called us to a powerful faith, Father God, a powerful relationship where it's not just resting on people's words, but of the power and the evidence of Christ in that person's life. Where they can speak your word by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord. And if you need ministry today, we have a ministry team. Come forth. If you need a healing, if you need a word of God, or you just want somebody to pray for you, come, come, come. Don't waste the opportunity. I want you to be so on fire for God. I just want you to be on fire for him. Fire, fire, fire for God. That you can't help but speak his name. You can't help but praise his name. That people at your work know that there is a difference in you this week. And that it keeps on growing and burning inside you. I can't stop but speaking of his name. I can't stop. He is so awesome. He is so good. He changed the Rahab and made her into a promised leader. And he's doing that in your life, in my life. Father God, we ask and we thank you now. Just bless everybody and have an awesome week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.